For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 151. 9 out of 10 atheists even agree that Chuck Norris is God.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we sing our hundred men. For Boston, take place from the family. And ever with a right shot as they bound to touch me no more in the market shop. For Boston, for Boston, our glory is over.
Bastards and wenches, may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
Blue Onik.
And I'm Darkheart.
And you know, Blue Onik, it's come to my attention that you seem to be getting your way in the video game world these days.
No, I'm never getting my way. I still haven't gotten my game that has real-time strategy that goes to first-person shooting and third-person shooting. I want it to be like the old version of Command & Conquer from Lot Sense, and drop down to, like, Battlefront.
I think
Star Wars Battlefront.
I think that's what you can do in the XCOM.
Shut up.
I think so.
No, but that's not it. It's not like that.
But no, dude. But no, you've been waiting a long time for Codemasters to announce Grid 2.
Yes.
And they finally announce it.
Yes, if you've been listening to previous shows and whatnot, you're probably like, shut the fuck up, Blue. We don't want to get this Codemasters Grid 2, but finally they... But put it out and said, hey, we're actually making the game now. Now, this was one of the things that was pissing me off, because there was a lot of the stuff that said, no, they're not creating this game. And, you know, I'm going to have to say that a lot of the other websites that I go to search at fucking suck. I can't stand the concept of when you want to try to find out information and they go, oh, we talked to so-and-so for this game company and blah, blah, blah. And they said, no, it's not happening. It's not happening because we're not gonna give it to you. You're the game fans and everything like that. We don't want to give it to you. You can go suck it. But I'm really happy that they are creating a Grid 2. It does start off with like them burning rubber on the tires and whatnot, and it's pretty nice. It looks very nice. And I'm hoping that they don't fuck it up like how they fucked up Forza.
Forza sucks.
Yeah, Forza does suck.
I thought the fourth one was good. I thought they made an improvement.
It's crap. That's the thing that, like, in order to set it up properly, you gotta play it to, like, its realest thing. And that sucks because it's, like, not a lot of people can play at that level.
Right. Like, I play more than, like, the arcade style.
Yeah, either arcade or you play it easy or medium or something like that.
You ever played Split Second?
Oh, no, I own that.
We own that, yeah.
I own Split Second, and that was pretty damn fun, but yet I still had an issue with you not being able to switch into proper camera views. Like, you could only switch from, like, the third person of a car view, or you could switch to the front bumper. You couldn't switch to, like, the actual inside the windshield. So if you had, like,
That first person...
If you had a racing wheel, like, or something like that you like to use, you wouldn't be able to use it with that game.
So like Gran Turismo 5.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention that. And I love Gran Turismo, but it is a bitch to play because it is like the most realistic style of driving.
Well, that's what they did with Gran Turismo, 5?
Yeah.
They made it the most realistic way to drive a car. So,
but that's an issue because then you would have to actually plop down $150 to buy the whole steering wheel and everything.
Which I actually don't mind because I actually prefer the steering wheel anyway.
That's like me with... I still want to go and buy... Fires of Liberation or something like that with the Ace Combat, where they have the actual, like, the flying stick and the, you know, the control setup. I wanted to buy that, but right now it's like, it's at that point where you can't find it anywhere, and if you can find it, it's like they overpriced it because of the fact it's so rare now.
Well, we'll touch bases back when it comes to flying games a little bit because there is
No, I know. I wasn't trying to lead into anything right yet. I was just saying in a sense that, like, if you're having to spend, like, the amount of money for that, or as I've seen a couple of hookups, like, people have, like, the three TVs here set up where you can... It basically creates, like, the windshield of a car.
Uh-huh.
And then next to that, they have the full-on, like, racing seat with the racing setup, and they actually have, like, two Xbox hooked up into it, which I'm like, holy shit, how did you do that, you know? But yeah, I mean, for the racing setups... I'm happy that Grid's come out, because I say that's Grid. When I sometimes have to go back to Grid. Like, I'll just go and go back to playing Grid, and I'll do drifting. I'll do anything, really, on that game, and it's a joygasm for me, more or less, because it gives you more realism. Like, yeah.
Surprised that there's still a lot of people online playing that game. Oh, that's how big of a fan base they have of that title.
And that's one of those things that game has... You know, it has what it needs to, like, be what it is. I mean, a lot of the cars, they look real. When it gets damaged, it gets fucking damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So saying if you wrecked your rims or wheels or anything like that, and you're trying to race, it's going to slow you down, and it's gonna act like how a real car would. It's going to pull to the right, left, whatever you damaged. It's amazing what they did with that system itself. Especially, I love doing the drifting. Every time I go to Japan, I'm just drifting the shit out of everything, and it's so awesome. But yeah, just to say that I'm wicked happy that Grid's coming out. But it's still, how much did they say it was a wait? Like, it's going to be probably in the next
summer.
Year. Fuck, man, that's too far away. That's way too far away.
It's going to come quickly, dude. You say summer, oh, next time it's not going to be here for a long time. Then it's going to be blinking eyes. Well, everything's already here.
It's fucking summer right now, so shut up.
Well, besides Grid 2, there was also the announcement, and you're kind of bittersweet about this one, Army of Two, Devil's Brigade?
No, what the fuck? Where'd you get Devil's Brigade? It's Devil's Cartel.
Oh.
You're a jerk.
I thought it was Brigade.
Why is it Devil's Brigade? What? You're mixing it up with our Busted Bastard Brigade.
I might be doing that, yeah.
You're being a jerk right now.
But Devil... Okay, so...
Jerk face.
So Army 2 Devil's Cartel. And the issue you have is the fact that you're not playing as the regular characters.
I wish I had some of the stuff that I had in front of me the other day, because when I was looking at it, it was... Okay, I have to give it to the graphics. If you actually go to our Facebook, I did put up the video of it, and they did just recently put up a trailer, so you can check out what I'm talking about. You do see Rios in the trailer, so that shows that they're kind of going maybe towards the 40th day, you know, part of the aspect where Rios might have shot Salem, or the other aspect. If you didn't play the 40th day, you're probably not missing much anyways. If Salem killed Rios, I heard Salem is also supposed to be in the game, but apparently this might be taking the concept that they just shot the living hell out of the guy and nothing really happened because the guy was bluffing.
Yeah.
But the whole setup of it was the game design and everything has kind of rapidly changed.
Yes.
Now, the thing about it is EA, Electronic Arts, has, you know, their grip around the game and whatnot, but now they just added into a newer company, and also along with that, they're going to be changing the engine to Frostbite 2.
Right.
Which I'm very interested in because of the fact that Battlefield 3 and all the other engines that it's been used on, it's very, mm-hmm. very pliable for every game.
Yeah, instead of the DICE engine, I believe, right?
No, DICE is part of that whole aspect.
Okay. But I thought DICE had its own engine itself, too.
No. That's the thing with Battlefield, like, 2 and stuff like that. DICE is just the part of the company that uses Frostbite. So at least I believe that's what it is. But still, they use DICE and Frostbite, too.
Yes.
But I'm not sure in this can, but this is kind of like another company that has done a lot of other games. I think they did Darksiders and maybe a few other ones. I'm not sure of the name right off the top of my head, but... yeah, just take a quick look for that. But as I explained, the setup that they're going to be changing from the game... okay, they're going to be keeping the back-to-back, apparently, from what they were saying, from what I've read. Which is a pretty awesome setup. Especially if you played the first one where they had, like, 50 Taliban-type guys coming after your ass. What is it?
Visceral Games. They developed all the Dead Space titles.
Yeah, that's the other one I was. I couldn't remember.
And let me tell you, Dead Space and is actually one of my favorite games. I played Dead Space. I have Dead Space and Dead Space 2 for PS3, downloaded on my PS3. Two very, very good games. I like the style of that game because of the fact that it's kind of both first person and third person at the same time.
Yeah, but also I have to say that the character is kind of stuck in the same, like, hunched over, like, putting his gun out more or less the whole time. Like, I don't see him stand up and walk around too much, like, from what I've seen.
You have to play Dead Space 2. In Dead Space 2, he actually talks more and has more of a character. Plus, coupled with Dead Space 2, it's the dementia factor.
Yeah.
After the events of Dead Space 1, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of the all the weapons are there from the first one, with a couple of extra guns that are added on. But for the most part, like, I really like the gameplay. I really like how there's definitely much more of a story involved.
So more or less what you're saying is you don't mind this company so much, like, with how they've designed their games.
I personally
don't. They have a good track record.
They usually do. I mean, of all the games that I've played with them, you know that they've made and stuff like that.
Because they also made Dante's Inferno. Mm-hmm. They also made James Bond 007, and Everything or Nothing. And that was technically the last thing Pierce Brosnan did as James Bond. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty good game. They also did the From Russia with Love one with Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
They did the first Godfather game.
Not the second one.
No, they did do the second one.
No, they did. That was shit.
Yeah, and they did do the Simpsons game for PS3 and Xbox 360. They didn't do the Wii version.
Mm-hmm.
But
which I did have an issue with.
So at least half of their games are good and half of their games are not that good.
So more or less, but to get back to what Army of Two was saying and whatnot, you can actually go to their website and they can give you some more information about what they're trying to do with this game. But to replace Salem and Rios, they're not really the main characters that you're going to be playing, which kind of pisses me off because there's not going to be the smart-ass, ness to it. They also took away the high-fiving and, playing friggin' shoots and ladders, basically, right in the middle of the game. But for the most part, they're trying to make the game more mature, which, okay, I can give it to them. Yes, fine, make it mature, whatever. Next to that, there's the two main characters that they're going to be playing. There's Alpha and Bravo. It's going to be either you can play by yourself, and you'll still be the Army of Two, basically, or you'll be able to co-op with you and your friend in the room. That's what they're saying, but I'm not saying that's going to happen because I've had that happen to me before where games have said that they're going to do a co-op where you can sit in the room and play, next to each other on the same system.
Yep.
Then they're also doing a setup where you could still play with somebody else on the other end of the internet, online, co-op, all this other stuff. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. But I'm just saying that it's going to change drastically because apparently they said that they're taking away the aggro meter, or they haven't really presented that in the game. Which the aggro meter, if you, the best way to explain it is you've got two people. You've got your war zone. You got one guy on one side, the other guy on the other side, and one has a bigger, prettier gun than the other guy, and he's going to, drop some serious lead on the other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to have them start shooting more bullets that way because they're trying to suppress that guy. This gives you the capabilities of the other teammate to go over and drop the guys from, a flank or just drop them basically right, outright. Which is pretty impressive. I do love that whole setup because that's a team-based game. It's really good. But next to that, there's a couple things that I was kind of like, what the fuck are they thinking right now? The game setup is apparently there's still TWO or Trans World Ordnance or Organization or something along those lines. And they're going to be dealing with Mexico or something like that. They're apparently not as secretive now. They're out in the spotlight more, mm-hmm. but they're working to control against these cartels and all this other stuff. So they're basically doing the real shit show mercenary work, and they're trying to take care of stuff. But from dealing with the new guys, Alpha and Bravo, they're trying to make it seem, you know, they're not going to give names for these guys. They're just going to let it so you can actually fill in, like, the blanks for that character. You can mainly, like, try to get more intimate with the character and what you're doing in the game. And then they also say the customization for the guns and all this other stuff. So it's a 50-50 right now. I'm kind of like, I'll put my money down on it, but I'll also be like, oh, great, if I play this is and it's nothing like the other two, I'm going to be kind of pissed off.
So what you're saying is proceed with caution.
Yeah, but bit of proceeding with caution, but yet they also said that there is people from the original, like, Army of Two that are working on this. They've brought in newer people as well to work on the game. So more or less, if this comes together the right way, they could have, you know, another great game altogether. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like the Army of Two series because of how sometimes it's been janky, or, like, you know, when you're playing it, or it's not everybody's likes the game itself. But me, if this poor bastard King over here had to edit my, how many words was it get?
2,500.
2,500?
That was your second longest article, by the way.
Oh, okay, well,
your longest one was a report, an MMA report, which is almost 4,000 words.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, that's MMA. I'm just saying generally, like, on a regular article.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, this was one of those things where, yeah, this was, I'm very passionate about it because I like the concept of the characters. I like that they're in full-body Kevlar. They have the Kevlar mask. They have big badass guns, you know, to take out, you know, whatever they need to do to get the job done and whatnot, and you're able to play with your friends, and it makes it better that way. But it's just, it's one of those things where they've gotta get this game, you know, taken care of and make sure that it's done properly. They don't have to keep patching it or something like that, which I hate so much when they have to do that, but. Mm-hmm. But this game definitely will be one of those ones that I'm looking forward to. But not sure when the date it's going to be released.
March 2013.
Oh, yeah, that's actually right. March. That's what they're pushing for. But for them to actually do it, I'm not sure.
We'll have to see then. It's not
a lot,
like,
of sleepless nights.
No, yeah. So, Blanc and I are on the fence with this demo. Well, we're not on the fence. We're opposite ends for this demo, for Madden NFL 13.
I'm not a sports fan. I'm not a big sports fan. I really not. Beforehand, like a long time ago, I used to watch basketball and used to be into that and play some of the games. And they're all right. Some of the basketball games are still a little fun, but I'm not really a big sports player or a sports watcher. To me, playing this demo, it's just like any other Madden game. So my opinion probably shouldn't even matter because I'm not even a sports fan. So I would probably give this to one who probably would have a little bit more credit because he is a sports fan. So I'm going to give this one to Blue.
Yay!
Well, for the demo of this game, you are able to play either as the Giants or the 49ers, and they actually give you 4 5-minute quarters to play. Because I remember in past demos, they would only give you, like, maybe, like, half...
Two minute four quarters or something like that. And
yeah.
It was over in
fuck
like
the Giants.
Seconds. Yeah, up yours, Giants.
Yeah. You and little pretty boy Eli Manning. Put a little lipstick on that little piggy wiggy.
Yeah, not right now. No.
You guys suck. You guys should have lost against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't do so well either.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the design, like, okay, let me ask you, what did you feel about the graphics?
Okay, so I feel like the graphics, they looked the same before, but I felt like the motion of the players looked a little bit better.
I don't know if I can agree with that. They looked like they were kind of janky. And your TV's perfectly fine.
Jankies!
Yes.
Jankies. But your TV's working perfectly fine. I know that. You know that.
Yes.
Darkheart knows that, but for the most part, it's like one of those things where I was noticing that there was like little fuck-ups on the lines that they had, like, you know, like I could tell that there's breaks in the graphics. There's some stuff, even, okay, you said he was posing, he froze.
Okay.
He was frozen in place when that guy, he was going in forward motion. There's no way you could have froze like that. to do a pose. I don't care. Well, he had that, so much forward momentum, he should have been on his face.
Yeah.
Well, that
he was Superman in that bitch.
That was just a demo, though. You know what I'm saying? Well, like, yeah. The final product could be just fine. And,
yeah.
And kind of would have just...
And they're
going to patch
the living fuck out of it. But the only thing is, yeah, maybe the graphics were a little bit better when they were giving you, like, how the actual players looked when they were doing their whole intro for, like, the teams, and they're showing off their muscles and all this other stuff, even though the guys, half of the guys don't even look that good in real life.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things where, okay, yes, they've improved on actually being more intimate with the actual players and whatnot, so you can actually see them.
Yeah, they took them out to dinner.
Not that sense. I mean, intimate, like, you can actually see their face and... The crowd, I couldn't really say anything about the crowd.
I still don't feel like the crowd could be as good. I feel like the crowd could be a lot better.
Yeah.
Well, a lot more, there should be more detail.
I still imagine those crowds, like how they used to do in the old games.
There'd be like cardboard.
Just outlines, colors, and that was it. You don't even see their faces. I imagine.
So they just used to do spray painting on like the friggin' cardboard and just put it off in the background.
Yeah. Oh. And it looked like something like that. But yeah, graphics, I think they're going to be a lot better in the full version of the game.
I would think John Madden would have already taken his name off this franchise by now. I mean, literally, it's not... I don't know. I know it's making them tons of money, but it's not... I don't know. If I was playing it myself, I'd be like, this is bullshit.
Yes.
You know what? It's fine.
Back to that's what John Madden does. Like, this is bullshit. How much money are we going to make on this game?
Boom! Top
African Ten Acton. You know, even though, like, all right, trust me, this is going on with the subject and everything like that. But even though that movie sucked, Final Fantasy Spirits Within, if they had graphics like that for the game, I'd want to play it.
Okay,
because it felt more realistic. Like, at least the characters on that movie, the way that they had them, you know, graphically made and stuff like that, it looked a little bit more realistic. If they were able to have games that were more graphic like that and stuff like that, then I probably wouldn't mind playing games.
Yeah.
Like football games.
Well, that's what they're saying, like, a lot of these new engines that they're coming out with. The Unreal 4 engine, the one that Square Enix is coming out with. You know, I think they're going to be finally stepping in that right direction. Maybe it'll be in the next-gen systems. We'll probably see it on the Wii U. We'll probably see it on PS4. And we'll probably see it on Xbox 720.
When does that come out anyway, Wii U?
The Wii U? I'm thinking November.
Of this year?
Of this year. Because they were talking about it last year. I have a feeling that Wii U is going to come out right before Black Friday.
No way. No. It's got to come out around Christmas.
Well, that's
before Christmas, but after Black Friday. Because if they put it out on Black Friday...
They're probably going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah, they will lose a lot of money. Especially since on Black Friday, all prices drop on, like, pretty much everything.
Right.
And they can't risk that.
But listen to that last comment you made. But that's when they drop all the prices. That's when people are going to, like, buy the big screen TVs, and then they see the brand new Wii U system. It's like, you know what? I can actually afford this, and I can just take it right there.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, it's already coming in at a certain price. You know what I'm saying? Like, say, for instance, when Wii first came out, and when PS3 came out, and Xbox 360 came out, they were like $500, $600 each.
Yes.
All right? That price didn't drop for a while, even on Black Friday. When Wii came out, it was like $250.
Right.
When you first can get it. And that price stayed the same for a long time because they were flying off the shelves.
I'm not saying that they're going to drop the price of the Wii U on Black Friday. I'm saying is everything else that you can use for the Wii U, big screen TVs and all that, are going to drop. And people are going to buy that with the Wii U, which will be at the same price.
But at the same time, they'll also expect that the Wii U to drop in price, too, if it would come down.
Then they'll lie and say it was $300 and drop it down to $250 or something like that. That's one of those things where it's... And when they go and do drop prices and stuff like that, when you go and do consumer electronics, it sucks ass. Because whatever price you're spending for it, the companies that manufactured it, they manufactured it for at least 80% less than what you're paying for.
Yes, exactly.
So the 100% price tag that you see, or the droppage of price and stuff like that,
isn't really
what the actual price. Like, you could, if you were to buy wholesale, you'd get it for much cheaper. Yeah. But this whole consumer electronics thing where people are just so dumbed down and go like going to like places like, well, the buy of best, more or less, they friggin' go in there and it's stupid. They keep, I don't know. I hate consumer electronics.
They do that with laptops because a lot of the companies and stuff like that who buy the laptops themselves, they buy it at a less price and then sell it for a little bit more. And that's why, like, with like certain things, you don't like employees don't really get discounts anywhere at any place for those items because there's no profit, there's no money involved in it.
Right.
Like, if anything, they lose money for what they sell it for.
Yeah.
So it's just like, pretty much like laptops, some TVs. Game systems they lose money on too, you know what I'm saying? Cell phone companies and stuff like that, they get no money from selling the phone. They get money from selling the contracts.
Yep.
They come with those phones. They don't make any money with those phones. That's why they can sell those phones at like ridiculously lower prices.
Yep.
Than anything. Because the contract.
Get it for $50 as soon as you sign this 2-year $500 contract.
Yeah, exactly. So this 2-year contract. You know what I'm saying? You get this 2-year contract, you get the phone for $50 when that phone itself is $400, $500. You know, iPhone. You know, you get an iPhone. iPhone is like $700 regularly.
Yeah.
You can get it for $200 and just get this 2-year contract. You know what I'm saying? Which is pretty much going to make up for the price of what it costs and more. So it's like you're paying them more with interest.
Yeah, and then when you want to upgrade or something like that, they're like, "Oh, you got to extend your contract, or you got to do this, or
exactly.
You got to spend the amount that it actually costs for that phone just to upgrade it while in the middle of a contract."
So, exactly. Yeah. And then if you want to switch and everything like that, you got to pay this
$200
fee.
To get back to what we're saying about with the Madden, it's just one of those games that it's just been cookie cut so much, and the cookie just doesn't taste.
Well, you see, I'm one of those guys who believes that all sports games, not just Madden, but NBA, 2K, NBA, 2K, NHL, all these games, they shouldn't be coming out with one a year. I believe they should be coming out with one every other year, and then when the next year comes around, that an update comes out, maybe if you want to like update your roster, the roster that's currently in the NFL, you know, if they want to just charge 400 Xbox points or $5 on the PSN and
whatever you want to do,
I think that'd be much better. But no, they keep churning them out every year and every single year.
Yeah, because and the concept is they put out one for like $60 or a special edition one or whatever. You know, people are gonna friggin' buy it because they're not fucking smart.
Right. It's also because the roster. Well, the rosters because of the drafts and stuff like that. They happen like every year, right?
Right.
So with the drafts and everything like that, they have to come out with a game every single year change of roster.
Not officially. All they have to do is they would have, let's put it this way. Let's do Madden 2014 to 2015.
Yes.
And then what that does is you get the game and the start of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
That fills in all the players, all the injuries, all that other stuff that we keep updated to that. Play into the second season while, you know, patching that in because they just do the small little updates and whatnot. So you could do that almost every week when you're playing the game.
Yep.
And then 2 years later, you'll be like, okay, I can still play this game, but, you know, probably won't be as up to date as it could be because all these players have either retired, got injured, or left. You know, it's one of those things that then they could come out with Madden 2016 to 2017. It's something along those lines where they could do it like that.
Right. And the issue I've had with the Madden games is because they keep turning one out every single year, it doesn't give them enough of a chance for them to innovate on something. But I feel like that they finally managed to do a little bit of innovation here with the Kinect calling. Like, I can call, like, instead of, you know, going through the controls on here, I can just
You can
tell,
call plays while your other person with the controller is doing it, you freaking jerk. I'm like, okay, I'm going to hike the ball. Audible! No, don't audible, you fucking jerk! O-line, no!
Because when I did the calling, I was passing the ball, I was catching the ball, I was making the first downs, I was making the touchdowns, I was making the field goals, I was making the interceptions. I was actually having fun with this game, unlike when I was playing it last year. I was really enjoying myself. I was getting back into the game. I felt like I was Coach whoever of the 49ers. I don't know his name.
Coach who gives a shit.
So, telling his players, all right, you want to go here, you want to go there. And guess what? They go here, and they go there, exactly as I tell them. Instead of in the old game, it was like, okay, go here and there. No, why are you going that way? Why are you going? I told you to go in that direction.
That happens with a lot of games.
Here, it does exactly what you want them to do. And I like that. And I'm happy with this change in the Madden series. I don't know about you.
Not really.
But I feel like this is a step towards the right direction for the John Madden series. And then, next year, EA Sports, you can take our little suggestion of releasing one every other year with patches here and there throughout both seasons so you can get the updated roster all the time.
Yeah, well, but in my sense, I'm feeling that this is almost like that old Sega Genesis game that I used to play that had the Dallas Cowboys versus the San Francisco 49ers. And what they did was you'd call the play would go through, and all they would do is they would show actual video footage from the games that they've played of the actual thing that you picked, and it would happen how the way that it happened on the actual field. Nothing would change.
Okay.
So, more or less, that's why I'm still kind of not, like, happy about the whole concept of you being the coach, like, yelling in that way instead of just being with the controller.
Well, no, you can still, I can still play
with the controller. I don't care. It just doesn't feel right. Yelling at the TV now doesn't work anymore. But, for the most part, as of the demo, I could rate it probably, I'll give it a 2.7, maybe. 2.7.
Right. I don't know if I should have had my chair when I give my rating for this.
You fucking douchebag.
I'm giving it a 4.9 out of 5. This is, like I said, this is in my honest opinion.
You're fan servicing again, you fucking jerk.
I'm fan servicing this.
You gave them, like, the fucking yanking and the cranking and the. Yeah!
Oh, jeez. I'm not jacking in San Francisco.
Sure you are.
But. It was the first time in a really long time that I've had fun with a Madden game. And I haven't bought a Madden game, in all honesty, since 2001. It was one of the first games I bought for the GameCube. And back then, I thought that was innovative, what they did with that game. And now, they finally, 11 years later, they finally managed to do something more innovative in the series to make it better.
Right.
Why don't we move on?
Fucking baby steps.
I wouldn't call it baby steps.
Baby steps.
If it took 11 years to get to this point.
Baby steps.
That's some huge baby steps.
Those are some long-ass baby steps. You know what it is? It's like those, oh, what is it? It's like the baby steps in the alternate universe place in Dragon Ball Z where you can go into the room and outside, it'd be just a day.
Oh, yes.
It's a year.
The Spirit and Time Chamber.
Thank you. Glad I have someone who remembers that here.
What about the Odyssey?
The Odyssey?
Yeah. He goes in there, and it's like years later. Like, because of that princess or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Kept him there for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. The Odyssey stuff. Homer's Odyssey.
What are you?
Didn't he pretty much cheat on his wife?
Oh, yeah. He was banging the shit out of that
woman. He pretty much cheated on his wife.
And his men got turned into pigs and they were, like, eating him and stuff like that. I was like, is that cannibalism?
It was like, oh, I am trapped here against my will. It's sex time!
Yeah. All right, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to go outside. And it's like, it felt like a 2 seconds and it's like 5 years later. What the hell?
Oh, jeez. In the movie, it was Vanessa Williams.
Yeah.
Out of all people, Vanessa Williams. Mm-hmm. Nothing against right. Vanessa Williams, but I think I would have picked somebody a little bit better.
Next.
So, this was a game that was below our radar that popped up. Yeah. Damage Inc. Pacific Squadron World War II. It's a flight game from Mad Catz of all companies, NADCATs.
It is funny. Didn't they make controllers?
Yes.
They and make other, the controllers accessories that I bought for, like, my N64, like, a long time ago.
Yes.
Not saying that my controllers have, like, fallen apart or not friggin' worked properly after a while. I don't like NADCATs as much.
Well, they used to do a good job. But it's one of those things where, okay, they know how to make controllers, but can they make a game that controls well?
Yeah.
I can say that this game had a little bit of an issue with the controls.
Yes.
Really?
I think so.
Are you not fucking seeing it?
When
you are doing the turns, right? Because of the fact that you're... Okay, your throttle stick is on your right hand.
You see, I played it in arcade, not simulation.
Either way. It's one of those things where... To play...
No, you played in simulation.
No, I played in arcade.
Okay.
I made sure.
Okay, then. So when the actual plane is taking a turn and stuff like that, I felt that the plane was shifting and stuff like that on me when I was like, I'm not doing anything to make it shift like that. Or when I had him, had the whole plane flip over, it was forcing itself to flip back upright. And I was like, okay, I'm trying to go this way. I wanted to take it go this way and then it would flip itself upright and it would leave me up to high and dry for the Japanese to pick me off.
Hmm. That never happened to me when I was playing it.
Oh, F you.
Yeah, I'm serious, dude. Okay, I did crash a lot, but it wasn't one of those games where, like, with Ace Combat, where I got frustrated with the game and had to set it off.
Yeah, this one wasn't as frustrating. But that's because of the fact that the plane is not going as fast as, like, you know, the friggin' speed of sound, you know?
Right, because these are World War II planes.
These are World War II-based planes and whatnot, and they have, you know... They're just a friggin' propeller on the front of the whole plane just to keep it together.
Yes.
Don't forget bubble gum and some wood glue is keeping that sucker together.
And don't forget those bonds.
Yeah, that's the American way to keep our planes together.
Yep, they just paste a bunch of those savings bonds together and just patches up all the holes.
Yeah.
It'd be good as new.
And you know what? That was actually a longer demo than I expected to.
Yeah, well, when
I could give it to it on that game, Bart.
Yeah, it took me. I know it took you a lot quicker, but it took me roughly an hour to actually
play
the demo.
I'm the man. Yes.
I wish more demos were like that, but
yeah, I wish that they were like that. But I mean, when I was playing it, I got kind of. I was at the point where I knew I had to go run and take care of something, but I got to the bombing part. And I got to the point where, like, fuck it, I gotta run out the door. And that was, like, the first thing I was able to actually, like, beat it here. Except
yes.
I think I beat it here, except yeah, for that weird little thing at the end that
happened.
That sounded like a friggin' boat horn.
I had no idea what the hell that was.
I don't know what that was either.
And then it glitched.
Well, yeah. That's Mad Catz for you.
Stop making controllers.
Stop making the cheap version of everything, you jerks!
Well, let's just go quickly into what you do in this demo. You gotta take down the Japanese radar system, you gotta take down the planes that are on the ground before they take off, and you gotta fight them off then. You gotta protect the bombers from incoming enemy planes, and then you gotta, like, destroy some of the buildings that they missed in the bombs. I don't know how they missed those buildings.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why is it in all of these games, why are we always fighting either the Japanese, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, or fighting somebody in Afghanistan or Iraq?
Well, what they're really trying to do is trying to stick in the propaganda. And the propaganda is that everything that isn't American or isn't our allies is a fucking enemy. Even though they're neutral.
Exactly.
Even though they're our allies right now.
Even the freaking French. Who are definitely neutral.
But I can only imagine that if I was, like, base set in, like, if I did the run-up on Normandy and then, like, played fucking Medal of Honor and I just fucking lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be probably an issue for me. Or, like, the concept of, like, going, fuck, I had to live it so somebody else created it in the game so other people could freaking play it. Fuck this shit. You know?
Right.
Right.
But no, I understand what you're saying. It's like okay, we've got the new movie coming up there with
Red Dawn,
but they've changed it around now. It's not the Cubans because we had the whole Cuban Missile Crisis thing. Now it's the North Koreans, because we had that issue, but seeing that...
It's home front the movie.
Yeah, it's home front the movie, but seeing that their great leader has passed away recently, and the sons don't want anything really to do with the country.
Yep.
Or to further themselves to shooting these stupid missiles off that keep landing, like, 2 feet from their friggin' shores, yeah. Because it can't go anywhere. It's just one of those things. But yeah, it's you know... It is kind of interesting that we have that whole mindset that we have to go against, you know, what we used to. But also, I could say that you can use
historical accuracy.
It's kind of like a historical thing, like we learn from our history, and it's better to do it that way, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, you know, more or less, you're not going to be like, you son of a bitch. Dude, I'm going to, like, go up to people and, like, hang out with them. I'm not looking to, like, go and curb stomp somebody or have, like, the Batman freaking.
And don't take that personally, Japan. Because I am part Japanese, so don't worry about it.
Shut up. But, yeah, back to the game.
You know, it's one of those games that I feel like they did a great job with keeping you on the edge of your seat during the battles, especially with the dogfight at the end.
Yes.
Because that's a tough son of a bitch to beat.
Yeah, it is. That's the one thing that was kind of surprising. What it was is, in a military stance, the U.S. Army didn't build in quality. They built in quantity. They had more, like, when we were going up against the Nazis in the tank aspect.
Yes.
It was the Nazis had bigger, heavier tanks. And we had all the Sherman tanks, and there was three for every one Panzer tank, and that third one would be able to take it out from behind because it was rushing to get to the back part of the tank.
Yes.
So it was one of those things where...
So it was kind of like a kamikaze type...
Oh, yeah, that... Dude, when you're doing the tank, if you were thinking you were safe in a tank, you're fucking dead wrong.
Yeah.
Dead wrong.
Yeah, that really bad video game that we had to play on Kinect taught us that.
Yeah. But that's one of those things where you have to, you know, you have to really get, that was the thing, like, when you go and take the Pacific, you know, when we were in the war with Japan and stuff like that, they have the great engines and all this other stuff where, you know, they got more speed. The Japanese had a lot more speed, like the Japanese Zeros, they had more speed. They had a lot of other things for their planes that would actually make them go faster. But their whole concept of going from, you know, frig, I'm out of, like, all my ammunition, let's go back, pick up some stuff, and come back again. They're like, screw it, we'll just go and ram into the side of an aircraft carrier or something that is a major target. And that's probably one of their other downfalls. But I'm not saying I'm trying to give it to them. I'm saying that there was quality, ours is quantity, and quantity won over the quality aspect.
Right.
That's kind of what how today is anyways. But
right. It wasn't like in Russia where it was like we had to fight with whatever we had.
Yeah.
It's like, Rutsky, you'll get gun, you'll get shovel, you'll get cat poo.
No, friggin' the Russian aspect was if you were in the charge and stuff like that, you better play fucking dead if you didn't get killed. If you ran up in the charge and whatnot, like they said, their whole concept was not one step back. Otherwise, the Russians would pull out their machine guns and you'd become an automatic neutral or enemy of Russia and kill them. So wow. It's one of those things where, like, the history base of, like, doing all the war aspect, you could see that, holy crap, you know, that's what sometimes the countries have to do.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone was, like, smart but stupid enough to try to, like, run backwards to go back to enemy lines.
That would still consider one step back and still. So more or less, you'd be fucking dead. Yeah. So
might as well just get captured and just switch sides. You might as well.
Yeah. Or you could do what Jude Law did in Enemy at the Gates. But
Oh, yeah.
But no, like, to get back to this game, like, the setup for the actual, you know, the flight, you know, characters, especially when that dogfight came into play, I can't remember the name of that plane. It's not a Japanese Zero. It's one of the other ones. And that plane was pretty tough to take down.
Because of the way it maneuvers.
The way it maneuvers, but also, I'm not sure if that was the one actually that had the back gunner on it. It was just the actual straight glass, I think.
That's the straight glass one.
Yeah, because they have the other ones that had the rear gunners on it. So it wasn't just that it could come up behind you and shoot you in the back. It could actually still shoot you if you came up alongside it or on the back of it. It was pretty interesting how the Japanese innovated with their planes. But as a whole, this game is, you know, it's pretty interesting, you know, to play it and whatnot, but I still felt like with the controls there was some kind of sketchiness because you have the throttle on the right stick, like I was trying to say, but when you're trying to turn, to make yourself turn a little bit better, like, you know how, like, beforehand, I didn't realize that I could do that. Like, your flaps are on your on the right and left on the actual controller.
Yes.
For the stick. So if you were taking a right and you put the stick to the right, it would actually help you so you could actually rotate the plane faster and all that other everything like that. Mm-hmm. But that was another thing was I think it was having an issue controlling with that because if you're trying to take a left and you push forward on the throttle and you're off a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left, depending on when you're dropping in and stuff like that, it would mess with the plane a little bit. And that's why I was seeing that little mess up when, like, the plane was, like, kind of, like, shaking. And I was like, okay. So more or less, I think that's what I was trying to say about it. But that's just because of how I fly my planes.
Yes.
More or less balls to the wall and fucking drop everything on top of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, this game is very interesting, especially now it's kind of surprising that you say that it came from Mad Catz. I wasn't expecting that.
Me neither. But I was looking at...
Is this going to be a download-based game only?
No. This isn't. This is going to be a full game purchase. It's going to be $40 when you...
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad of a deal because...
Yes.
Because they're going with the cheap price, right?
Well, yeah. It's on
Mad Catz.
As long as it's going, like, you know, instead of, like... Because they know the game isn't going to probably sell that well if you just start it off at $60. So if you go and drop it in there at $40, they might get a little bit more cash for it right off the bat than,
right.
You know...
Yeah.
Than whatnot.
But there is a $90 collector's edition.
Okay.
And it comes with the Corsair DLC. That's like the Reaper version. And it comes with the Pacific Aviator flight stick controller. Mm-hmm. So you can actually play it... With, like...
Kind of, like, put it between your legs and fly it that way. Because that's how the old planes used to be. They had it, like, right in between your legs with the actual things instead of now, like, where it's right and left or something like that on the sides.
So you can actually play it with that style controller. Mm-hmm. I think it's similar to one that you were looking for, the Ace Combat one.
Yeah, it's almost like that, except it doesn't have the throttle set up on it where it has, like, all the bells and whistles on the left hand. And I'm telling you, like, that setup was awesome because that you could control the throttle by just going like this back and forth. And then, you know, but that's the other thing that sucks about that. It's like you're going to have to get a plank of wood and set it up, like, on your couch properly so you can actually get the real feel to it. But yeah, I mean, this game seems kind of interesting, and it... I mean, what are we looking for on the time for it to come out?
I think it's sometime at the end of this month.
Oh, shit. Well, I mean, I would put my money down on the $90 version just to get the joystick, because that's one of those things where I like the simulation factor. I used to like playing Flight Simulator all the time when I was younger, especially on PC and stuff like that, but more or less...
Yeah, so the controller looks like this.
Yeah, no, I've seen... I saw this at one point. I think there's a little throttle on the front of it.
Yeah,
there's a little throttle set up on the front of it. It has a couple of, like, it looks like you could probably start up your plane that way with it and also do a couple feel, like, trimming things to it. So, yeah, that looks like a cool little controller. So for $90, that's not too bad, but with me, I'll probably end up waiting for it to get to one point and buy it when it gets a little bit cheaper.
Okay.
But yeah, this isn't one of those games I'm like, run out and buy it now! I'm not sure if I really want to give more money towards towards their company so much. I'll give it to them on the game aspect, but not the company.
Okay. That's fairly reasonable.
So, what would you like to rate this?
I had a great time with the demo while I was playing it, so I'm going to give it a 4.8 out of 5, because it came out of left field for me. It was a big surprise, and I was shocked that I liked it. And are you very surprised that I did not mention the other flight game that I really like during this whole review?
Yeah, exactly. Snoopy. Fuck Snoopy. Will they make it a second Snoopy game?
I want them to.
Snoopy's the best pilot in the world, man. Even though it is fake.
It's all imaginative. Darkheart, did you want to say anything? Because you got.
I'm kind of in the middle with this game, really. So I'm just going to say a 3 out of 5, just to put myself in the middle, because Mad Catz takes me back.
Yeah.
but I did find it a little hard to get a handle on flying the plane, whether it was inverted or not inverted. Still had a little trouble.
Yeah,
they didn't.
They didn't really start off in the game to like give you the capabilities of trying to like say which way do you want to fly your.
Yeah.
Because usually a lot of games start now where they're like, look up. Look at this part. Do you feel comfortable doing that? Yes, no, maybe. Invert, yes, no, maybe. You know, stuff like that. So it's one of those.
Especially for a game that has simulator on it.
Yeah.
So.
So you said a 3?
Yeah, I'm going to say a 3. And that's me being nice.
I'll be nice. I'll be nice and give it a 4.2.
Okay.
I still feel like it's not like it's up to the capabilities of it or stuff like that. Like you can go on if you got a PC. There's this other Flying Aces or something like that, and you can actually play online with other people, and you can actually shoot. It's like it's almost like World of Tanks, but for planes, and that was actually interesting. But my computer sucks ass, so I can't always play it. So, but yeah, this game pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Especially for a World War II based game, but apparently everybody's still getting sick of World War II now. They're like, okay, we're kind of done with World War II. Mm-hmm.
Yes, let's do like some different war.
Do 1984.
Yeah. Yeah. I. You know what? That would actually. You've given me inspiration. All right. For those who are doing gaming and stuff like that, I have to say, there has got to be a game that you have to create that is based in the concept of George Orwell's 1984. Now that would be one of those games. That'd be one of those games that would be very interesting to see, like how the concept of how they're dealing with the war at the time of like how that story is.
Yep.
But also like, you know, how the communist aspect of it and everything along those lines. I know that probably America would have one hell of a friggin' field day with the whole game, especially because they did the movie.
Yeah.
With John Hurts, and John Hurts is a great actor, and
yes.
And it's just one of those things where they could actually kind of like feed off that story, not the exact same character from what John Hurts, but another character where it kind of turns into leading a revolution into taking it back over from Big Brother, more or less. That would be kind of an interesting game for me to play.
Now, would you say I could actually kind of picture this being
almost like how Spec Ops: The Line was? It kind of brought in the whole aspect of the story there.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say the Saboteur.
Well, there is Saboteur. Saboteur was, but that's based on World War II France.
Right.
You know, when the Nazis occupied it and stuff like that, but I like the concept of that. Not only because you could go into the cabaret strip, you know, club and actually have them dance naked for you. I'm surprised Darkheart was like, what? When can we pop the game in? But not only that, there's the whole setup, like, when you go and clear that section of France of Nazis, the black and white of that area comes back into color, so it shows like the art aspect of like the dark dreariness has gone away because they've taken care of that section of France. And I have to give them on that one. That was a pretty interesting game. That would be good concept toward that 1984 game,
right? And then as the game progresses, you build your army.
Yeah, exactly. So you can build like. I really wish they would have created like an Equilibrium game. That would have been pretty awesome too, because of that whole concept. Like you've got, I know, like Christian Bale and all that other stuff, but it gives you the concept that you are an advanced person because you're called the Gun Carter or something along those lines, where you've learned how to do immense stuff with karate and other such fighting styles, but yet you're wielding guns at the same time, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny you're talking about, you know, making a concept of a game. I know that
Aliens Colonial Marines
is coming out.
Hopefully getting hooked up with.
You know, I remember the first time I played an Alien versus Predator game, and it was on the computer.
Yeah.
And it was a long time ago, and I've always really love like all different series, like watching the Predator movies, watching the Alien movies. I love the Alien movies, but like I really want them to come out with a game where you could be any of the three, and you can actually like really.
I thought they did have the Alien versus Predator game,
but yes. But I'm talking about actually being that, but doing it in multiplayer.
No, yeah, you can't do that.
There was
That was the Alien. That was the recent Alien versus Predator game.
Yeah,
that one. Yeah, but you couldn't do it in multiplayer.
Yes, you can.
You can only be the Marines.
No, dude.
We're gonna have to look into that more.
We are gonna have to look into that more because
every time I remember playing the PC game one, and there I thought you were able to play. You were able to play as aliens. You were able to play as predators, and you were able to play as marines. So,
but in a multiplayer sense, like in yes. the, like going on.
Well, I'm not sure about multiplayer sense because at the time when I was playing, multiplayer was far from the point. They were actually more concerned on the actual story than they were actually on the multiplayer.
But aspect. I mean, like, in a multiplayer sense. I'm talking about you can actually pick what character you want to be and fight with those weapons that they have or whatever. You know, if you're an alien, then you whatever that they're built as.
Capabilities of, you know what I'm saying? Flipping up the wall. But that was the thing. When we went to PAX East, we were able to play with the actual guys who designed the game and got our ass handed to us, basically. But they were playing as the aliens as on the multiplayer, and you were able to play as the Marines. Now, I'm not saying that the Predator is on this game. There is no Predator from my knowledge. There probably might be an add-on, but I'm not. I'm just speaking out of my ass right now. But I'm just saying that the way that they designed the new game is very sexy, and I look forward to it. And when it comes out, it would be very nice if it does very well, especially because Sega's on this one. If they do very well with this game, that they could come in and lead in with another game with which has, you know, the Predator in it. So,
And let me tell you, I've always wanted to play as the Predators. I don't like the aliens, but I've always been.
They could even throw in the creators from Prometheus in this too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because the thing is, like, Predator has a lot of weapons that. Like things you haven't seen, you know what I'm saying? And
well, I've kind of seen like the sling guns that the female there had in the first Alien when they come down on the planet and she's rocking like what it is like the whole camera system like that holds onto her gun, you know, the swing arm. That's an M60 based gun. That was because like back in the 80s, everybody was like jerking off to Rambo. And they were like, yeah, I want to go and get me a gun like that. You know, but more or less, yeah, like, they had kind of interesting setups, especially the sound effects that they added to the guns, which they showed us in the new game and stuff.
Yes.
It sounded pretty badass. But yeah, I mean, I can understand where you're coming from, where you want kind of like that kind of base game. And the only thing is if it's not in a supply kind of demand kind of thing right now, like, they're trying to figure out if they want to do... They want to keep going with that whole franchise because they want to see how this one does.
Right.
But yeah, more or less, I'm looking enthused about that game coming out. But
mm-hmm.
So, are we moving on?
Yes, let's move on to the movie we got to see today, The Expendables 2. Now, I went in this almost with a blank slate because I didn't know what this movie was going to be about. Because we saw the first one. We saw the first one in theaters.
No, we didn't see the first one. Okay, yes.
And while the first one was good, it didn't blow me away like I thought it was going to. But then again, that was because we just saw Scott Pilgrim a couple hours beforehand, and that was like my joygasm movie.
That was your joygasm, you bastard.
You think they're going to make a second one?
Second Scott Pilgrim? They can't, because they did all six volumes of the book in that movie.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay, then they're just
wait, how did they put in Scott Pilgrim versus the Universe? Anyways, I was just busting your balls.
Yeah.
Back to the movie.
So, the first, what did you say, 10 minutes of the film? Was more action-packed.
Basically like Rambo. Like the whole concept, like the new, not like the actual Rambo movie. Like how like you just run around and like light people up with big-ass machine guns and... Like, I have to give it to them on the whole aspect of, like, blowing these friggin' the bad guys away.
Yes. I felt like there was more action in the first 10 minutes of this movie than there was in the entire first Expendables movie.
See, now, the first Expendables movie, they were trying to be a little bit more like, hey, get to know us, you know, all this other stuff. Now this was like, screw getting to know us, watch what we can do, you know, this is like...
And honestly, I was kind of hoping they were going to do that with the first movie, because we knew what kind of people that Stallone, Statham, Jet Li, Randy Couture, Terry Crews, all those people, Duff Lundgren, let me throw that name in, we knew what kind of people they were going to be. We didn't have to get to know them, because we already knew them through past characters and through their personalities. So I felt like, here... I got what I was hoping for from the first, from the in the second one, what I was hoping to get in the first film. Just shit blowing up everywhere, stylistic.
I have to give
corny catchphrase.
I have to give it to Stallone and whatnot for doing this whole movie and directing it and while acting in it and everything like
that. Well, no, he didn't direct this one.
No, that's bullshit. I'll give him directing fees anyways. He's one of those people that was multitasking at the same time. He did a lot of stuff.
Because he's the one that was recruiting a lot of these characters and saying, I want this person in the film. You know, I want to try to get this person in the film. And I even read up that there was a lot more other people that he wanted to put into the film itself, but they couldn't. Either they got they turned it down or they couldn't. They had other projects, things like that. But like, so it could have been a hell of a lot more action-packed than it already is. But
I guess we can kind of call this a spoiler alert, but Jet Li is probably in the first part of the movie for the first half hour, and then he goes and not after even they, like
15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, somewhere around there. After that, he latches onto the billionaire that they saved and whatnot, and they jump out of a plane, and you never see Jet Li for the rest of the movie, even though I thought he was going to pop back in like probably the last couple minutes.
To help them out, you know, you know. Nothing.
But apparently he was working on something else at the time. So.
Yes.
But honestly, they had a fitting replacement, I think, anyway, for that for him.
Not you.
Yeah.
The character of Maggie.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Yes, actually, she's pretty cute. I feel there's only one person that really made this movie, though.
Which person?
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris
stole the light, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, he stole the light and didn't even have to be in most of the movie.
Yeah, he was in like, what, two? He was in two scenes.
Like,
he was
in two friggin' scenes.
Like two big scenes. Like they were all for a fight. But literally, once Chuck Norris stepped it through, it was all over. It was like one roundhouse kick and it was all done, like type thing.
I heard you got bit by King Cobra. Yes, I did. Yeah. And after 5 days of pain and suffering, the cobra died.
They had to do that. That was total fan service.
Yeah, it really, like, that was freaking just awesome, having Chuck Norris come in there. And the thing is, Chuck Norris came in there, and they were, again, spoiler alert, they were battling these bunch of guys and shooting them, and they were had the tank and everything like that. And then Chuck Norris just comes in and takes care of all of them in not like a quarter of the time that it took for them to even like hit some of these dudes.
Yep.
With one fucking gun.
Yeah.
Literally. I find that to be the most funniest shit ever. Everybody fucking cracked up laughing in that theater.
He's the one man wolf pack, really. The still life of Zach Galifianakis, he is the one man wolf pack.
Oh, man.
But as you mentioned near the end of the film, sometimes it's a lot more fun running with the wolves.
Yeah. But, man. But no, for me to sit through this movie, it wasn't boring. It was actually pretty fun.
Concerning all the shit that we had to watch the past couple weeks.
Yeah, like, Bourne Legacy was very... It was not as entertaining as it could have been.
I didn't even get to see it. I did not even get to see
don't
it.
Don't bother.
You don't want to bother to see it. Maybe even catch it if you it fucking...
And the guy who's doing the lead character, he's like, actually, I like him. He's
Jeremy Renner, yeah.
That dude's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
He just got into a shit role that just, it wasn't his fault.
Like I said, he's just going to have to flip a couple more houses.
Yeah, just flip a couple more houses and he'll be fine.
I just kind of thought that, like, the way the commercials were and stuff like that, I thought it was going to be action-packed throughout.
No.
You know?
Yeah. But no, it wasn't.
No, they did that on purpose.
But with the Expendables 2, did any of you think it was funny seeing Dolph Lundgren being the good guy and now Jean-Claude Van Damme as the bad guy?
No, because Jean-Claude Van Damme, I have seen him play a bad guy.
Oh, there was the one where he like, had, like, he was a bad guy. And then he had a clone or something like
who
that.
Who was
that
a good guy?
That was a good guy that's coming after him. Or they had that one where like he had like a twin brother and one was evil and one was good or something like that.
Yes.
Oh, well, he was sort like his twin brother was sort of evil, but he became good and helped him out. But like there was a role that he played. I can't remember the name of the movie, but he played a bad guy and he actually played a good bad guy. I don't know. When I watch this movie, I look at it and I say that Van Damme needs to fucking retire.
We can still do the kick.
He can sort of still do the kick, but no.
Yeah, but watch his video, like, you know, about himself and whatnot. And
JCVD, that movie was an awesome movie.
I kind of like.
I felt like he was a whiny baby, dude. Yeah, like, he was crying and shit like that. He was just like, I just want my role. Like, they were supposed to redo, like, Bloodsport or something like that when he was talking about it. And he's like, no, I want to get into this, blah, blah, blah. And they said, fuck you, you're too old. What?
What's funny about that, too, is, especially after he lost that bar fight that long time ago, I kind of lost all faith in him. So, it's just like, no, I'm sorry. You lose a bar fight, you're supposed to be like this badass action star. You lose
right. Well, that's what JCVD was supposed to, like, showcase, that he's not really a badass all the time, yeah. Just in movies, and he's just a regular guy. Because there's that one scene where, like, in his head, when he's being brought out as a hostage in that film, in his head he pictures himself pulling away from the gunner and doing that special kick that he does. Yeah. And then it shows reality where all he does is just headbutt the guy and falls to the ground.
Yeah.
I loved him in that film because it showed his more humanistic side. But with Expendables 2, getting back to that film, this whole scenario of trying to find, was it uranium or was it
plutonium?
One of the other deadlier things that the Ruskies had.
Where's Stewie? Stewie probably was there.
Because Stewie Griffin wasn't there.
He was there.
Although maybe they used Meg Griffin as one of the.
I know, right?
What do they call them?
Stunt doubles.
Not a stunt double, but just a human shield.
But, like, this whole setup is apparently there was a plane that got taken down in, what was it, China? Was it China?
Yeah, China.
So it slammed into one of the hills and whatnot, and they had to go and retrieve the data or something like that, and, you know, the safe is rigged to blow if it gets the wrong code and all this other crap. So, yeah, it was kind of an interesting setup, but it also gave them the capabilities of, you know, trying to find the plutonium. But it felt like the guys, you know, that was the weird thing, is that the people were already basically working in the mine to find the plutonium, and apparently this plane, when it got shot down and stuff like that, they were able to get the coordinates faster and whatnot.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of a basis of the people that are digging up the mine added into the actual movie, which gives them, you know, gives the people, gives, the actual Expendables, like, something to do in a good manner otherwise, because every time there's always something like, oh yeah, we can't friggin' bother with that, that's not our style, or something like that, but yeah, and then it turns around, they're like, oh yeah, we'll help them out, or something like that, in some random way, even though they were like, nope, we're not gonna help them, screw this.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's sort of like, with that part where, like,
it's like the Robin Hood kind of, like, yeah. Thing, where it's like, they go around, you know, they beat the crap out of everybody, and then they go and, you know, sit back and whatever the hell Mai Tais or something like that.
But altogether, like, this film was everything I was hoping the first one was going to be, but wasn't. I felt like they really delivered it this time. They got a great cast, they got good villains, maybe a plot line that's been used so many different times over, but I felt like that was the point. It was more of the homage to the 80s.
Some scenes felt like they were kind of going through the motions.
Right.
Like, you know, they're joking with each other and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Will you stop jerking off that rapper? Anyways. Some of the scenes that they were dealing with were, you know, kind of like, you know.
Yes.
Okay, fine. They were homages, but, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have to say about that.
But then to have Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger come in and have their little fun moments.
Yeah, which is kind of amazing because they're really getting old.
Yeah. Thing belongs in the museum. So should we.
Yeah. So, I can have to say, like, this movie was really good.
Yeah.
This movie was actually pretty decent.
At last, a good action film that really delivered. After dealing with the crap that we had to see the past couple weeks.
No, but, okay, let's bring it back to when they came out with the first Expendables.
Yes.
There was two other movies that year. There was The Losers, yep. And The A-Team.
And Red.
Oh, yeah, fine. Fucking A. Red. Alright, so Red, That did as well as it could have done by itself, because that. But I'm just saying that those three action movies were basically in a row.
Yes.
But that's the other beautiful thing about that was Expendables basically swallowed that action part of that summer up in, as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Where it left kind of like the losers and, you know,
The
A-Team kind of left in the dust. But I still felt like A-Team was probably
the most fun to
one
watch.
Of the most fun to watch. And every time it pops on, I have to watch it.
Yeah. I felt like the losers had the better plot line, too.
Yeah, that too.
I do. Let me tell you, I do like the A-Team very, very much. I hope that they do make a second one.
Nah, they say it's not going to happen.
Really? I found it to be a fun enough film that they could have made a second one. They should make a second one. You know,
I don't think it even grossed 100 mil around here. So
I think it did. I think it did. The final
around the world, it might have done.
Yeah, but it might have.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
but while we rate this movie, I think I could give this a good 4.5 out of 5. You did a fantastic job with it.
That was actually my score.
A broader improvement from the first movie.
I'll probably lean towards a 4.7 because they did do great with the actual like graphics and whatnot of when people are getting slaughtered by their guns and whatnot. That first action scene was amazing. You know, they've got a guy sitting in a chair that's getting his ass beat and stuff like that. He's a hostage, and the guys come rolling in with these really interesting trucks that weren't, like, completely armored, but they did have special things that they could flip up to, like, you know, be armor or whatever, but...
Because they're that freaking good.
Was pretty crazy that, like, he was able to flip up this big, you know, hunk of, like, metal and stuff like that. It was, like, a big, an I-beam. It was an I-beam. It was friggin' amazing.
Yes, the I-beam. What did it say? Knock, knock?
Yeah, knock, knock. Or and then, like, when they had the other... they had that special, like, blast shield or something like that that, you know, Sylvester Stallone's character whipped his car around and it dropped it down and they were able to take out all those Jack-style blockades and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. But, yeah, all in all, this movie is just absolutely just... It was pretty stunning what they did, and it had its humor and action up the wazoo, and if you're wanting to go out, go and see this movie. It's damn good.
Agreed. I'm very, very happy with this movie. I am super, super happy about this film.
4.5, it's the same. Jason Statham is just the fucking man, that's all I have to say. Like... When he just busts out knives, it's over. that whole scene that he did with the knives I Jet Li is not the only really good hand to hand combat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like especially after I saw that movie War.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Jason Statham's the man.
Yeah. Well, the problem with War was there wasn't enough Jet Li, Jason Statham.
Yeah, there wasn't enough for that match.
It was like only like the last 5 minutes of the movie, and we were hoping that we were going to see like that throughout the film.
Mm.
Kind of like that's kind of again like the scene in The One where Jason Statham is in that one moment.
Mm.
Yeah. That's like four movies that they worked together with, though.
Yep. I think it is four.
Yeah, it is. Wait, hold on. They've worked in four movies together?
Dude, The One, Jet Li, Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah, Expendables I know The One.
Expendables 2.
War.
And the other one, War. They have a hard-on for each other. No,
I'm just kidding. not as much as Adam Sandler and freaking Rob Schneider.
Yeah, those guys are gay for each other.
Yep. I believe so, too.
I mean, that's just more than a hard-on. That's just freaking...
Circle jerk. It's a circle jerk. All right. So why don't we stick a fork into this podcast episode?
Yay!
Remember, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebashers@bostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Blonica is on their Blue Wonic. Darkheart doesn't have one yet.
Not yet, but soon.
Good.
We're also on Facebook.com/Boston Bastard Brigade, or otherwise, if there's a search thing up at the top part of the screen, if you've been on Facebook forever, you just type in Boston, and then it should pop up by then, but by the time you type in Bastard, which is B-A-S-T-A-R-D, Brigade, you should be able to find us. It should show our symbol, and you should be able to get in and lickety-split and just like us as soon as you get on our page. Yep. Because we've been doing very well, and we've gotten over, what, 105 now?
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Yes.
You think you're excited.
Feel these nipples.
Yes, feel these nipples. We also have our other affiliates. We also like to always say thank you yet again to our big sisters, the Electric Sisterhood over there. Geek Aggro? Is Geek Aggro still around?
Yeah,
still
Geek with us?
Okay, just making sure.
Issues Guy.
Issues Guys, Matt the Wad, Western Mass MMA, Cage Titans, all the other companies that we've been working with as of lately. We're really happy, and we're working on getting our affiliate page up so we can share the love.
Yes.
So, more or less, let's put the fork in this fucking thing.
Yeah, because honestly, I'm getting really hungry.
I'm fucking starving. Starving, kid.
Yes.
And I have to do that in the Bostonian accent. Starving. Wicked starving. Wicked.
Wicked. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Blue Holding.
Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps. We still have to teach him that.
Yeah, alright, where's the bottle so I can spray him in the face? Bitch.
I'm gonna go back to paying the comments.
Oh! God damn it!